just doing a lot of thinking lately. You know, this is in the church life, especially, it's a busy time of the year. I went to a preacher's meeting yesterday, being Monday, and to meet Bishop Berlin, our new bishop. I was quite impressed with him. I think he'll do us a good job. He's got a big job ahead of him, but he brings some common sense along with some scriptural authority to the leadership of our conference. So we're grateful for that. But as I was sitting around, and then all the preachers were saying, "Oh, this is a busy week," and it is, but it's a joy. Palm Sunday, this coming Sunday, is the beginning of what we call Holy Week, and there's a lot of things that happen in Holy Week. Palm Sunday, April 2nd, April 6th is Holy Thursday, April 7th is Good Friday, and you wonder, well, we called it Good Friday. Well, it was good because Christ gave up his life for us. And then Holy Saturday, and then next Sunday, Easter Sunday. Oh, by the way, we'll be having a sunrise service at the pond Easter Sunday, 7 o'clock in the morning. So hope and pray you can come to be a part of that. It's a nice little service as we gather and watch the sun come up over Bethel Pond. But I was thinking about a story that I had heard some time ago. And it was a father was trying to get his son to get a haircut. I mean, he had hair all the way down to his waist. And he said, "Son, you're not going to be able to get a job. You're not going to be able to do this or do that unless you get a haircut." "Dad, I don't want to get a haircut. Why? I'm not hurting nobody with this hair way down here like that." "Well, you know, you're getting to be a time in your life where you'll want me to do some things for you, you know, like getting a car or something like that, and I can't do it unless you get your hair cut." Oh, he moaned and groaned and everything like that. "But Dad, I want a car." "All right, get your hair cut." Well, lo and behold, his dad said, "Well, I'm sorry, you're not getting a car. You didn't get your hair cut. That's it. I told you I'd get you a car if you got your hair cut. You didn't. That's it." And he said, "Well, Jesus had long hair, Dad." "Yeah, he did. Yeah, he sure did. But guess what? He walked everywhere he went." Well, that's kind of a little bit of older humor. I said all that to say this, because we're looking at Palm Sunday, where Jesus rode in on the donkey. And so maybe he didn't walk everywhere that he went. But the Gospels never recorded Jesus riding anything until Sunday, when we look in Matthew's Gospel and some of the other Gospels, where Jesus was riding into Jerusalem. Up until that point, he walked everywhere. So it seems that this day, Palm Sunday, he was making a point. He really is the Messiah that Zechariah had promised, and some of the other prophets, Isaiah. And I think it's a little humorous to think of him on this tiny animal. You know, you've seen a donkey, and then you've seen the donkey's colt. They're not very big. Now, we don't know how big Jesus was, but he was a human man, and he was probably good size. The sign of a king coming in peace. But could he come on a donkey's fold? Jesus uses some of the most extreme example on how he could show people how serious he was about fulfilling prophecies. That's what it was all about, because he was here teaching and ministering, and he was fulfilling prophecies of a lot of the people understood that. And he said, "Well, maybe this is the Messiah. He fulfilled this power and the prophecy, and he fulfilled that prophecy." So he was serious about his ministry of fulfilling prophecy. But I like to think, like many of us, people see what they really want to see. You know, they were cheering. But what were they cheering in Palm Sunday? They were cheering not the real Messiah. They were hailing a king. They were thinking, he'll come and free us from Roman oppression. They hailed him with date palms and branches. Date palms basically is like what we call palm trees. You know, the dates that we eat, they come from a palm tree. You know, they tried to hang him on political aspirations. But even as we read this story about Jesus and Palm Sunday, we might be able to guess what happened next. We didn't know. Well, we know because we got history on our side, but the people didn't know. They had no clue what was about to take place and about how God was going to accomplish things. Jesus rides his donkey through the eastern entrance into Jerusalem. He headed straight for the temple on this little colt, and then he does nothing. And when Jesus failed to do what they wanted to do, because they thought, well, he's going to ride in on this donkey, and he's going to tear him up, so to speak, and return the kingdom to King David's relatives. But they turned on him because he didn't do what he said. Blessed be the king. And then when he didn't do what took place, and you know he got arrested, and all the things that took place on Holy Week leading up to Easter Sunday, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" because he wasn't the man they thought he would be. Yeah, he was a king, but he was a king that they did not expect. He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So, he went to the cross for us, but he was not a defeated king. He came to do exactly how he planned things. So yeah, Jesus walked everywhere he went except for that tiny little time where he rode a donkey into the city. You know, it's almost hard to fathom sometimes, and I realize that. We are here in 2023. We are 2,000 plus where Jesus had come to this earth through a babe that we celebrate on Christmas time. And he grew in wisdom and stature, and we have all the writings and the prophecies that he fulfilled and all of that. But it's hard to fathom Jesus, because he's not here with us in the flesh. So how do we get this thing called faith? Faith that it really happened. Well, we can look at a lot of the historical accounts. Jesus really and truly came in a period of history. It's recorded in the history documents of people that not necessarily faith people over the years. And we have the gospel. We have the stories in the gospel. And we need everything we know about Jesus we can find by reading in the Bible. Now, I'm a Christ follower, as I mentioned last week. And I also want to teach and preach Christ. Not for you to be convinced on what I think about Christ, but what Christ can do for you if you follow his teachings. And then we can understand our life here on this earth and the promised hope that we have. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's what, if you didn't have hope that Christ is real, and be assured by the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And if we didn't have this thing called hope, we'd all be a sorry bunch of puppies. But praise be to God, because God manifested himself in the flesh. and came to this earth to take the sins of the world to the cross of Calvary. Palm Sunday just sort of opened the door for the things to take place, and leads up to Easter Sunday, and all about the crucifixion and so forth. Now, Easter is a term that we're all familiar with. I like to call it Resurrection Sunday. It is because of the resurrection that we have hope, that Jesus in the resurrection broke that bondage over sin and death. But it didn't stop there. He was seen by many after he was resurrected from the dead. But the most important thing, I think, is he told the disciples where to go, that he was going to send one greater than him, the Holy Spirit. We call it Pentecost, the birthday of the church. But it was a festival that they were already familiar with, because Penta is 50, and Pentecost was something that was one of the Jewish feasts. But then he told them that the Holy Spirit would come upon you, and you will be able to have power to do the things that I taught you to do. That's why we come together for church, to be able to have. It's like going to Jesus College, I guess. I don't know any other way of saying it, but it is by faith. And so, what does the world have to offer? Not much. So, I am going to trust in this personhood of Jesus Christ, and I know that it's real. You know why? Because I experienced it. That's why we call this a personal relationship with God. Because it's personal to you and to me. I know what I was like before Christ came into my life. So I just hope that I can encourage somebody that, look at the world. Look at all this mess that we're in. Enough said, right? Well, we always close this segment with some prayers. I know one prayer that was put out, that Linda Sassine's sister is having some surgery, and she wanted us to lift it up, and we do. But if you click on the slides on the online thing here, right by where Pastor's Thoughts and Prayer, it'll bring you up to where all the people that we have on our prayer list is there. And we always like to come and pray for them, and prayer of agreement, prayer of intercession. But you know the most important things. Now, you know, most of you might know by now that my Judy's cancer has come back, and she's going through treatments. And I certainly continue to ask you to pray for her. But there's other people in our congregation. There's other people that we know, family members, that need a special touch from God. But talking to and recording prayers and so forth is nice and good. But you don't need a preacher. You don't need a 1-800 number. You can go directly to the throne room of grace. God wants to talk to you. He loves you. He'd like to hear from you. Now, I don't think that it's anything other than just putting the names out there. But it's important that you learn to talk to God yourself. That's what happened when Jesus, being this is Holy Week, and when he was on the cross, and when he gave up the ghost, something incredible happened. The veil in the temple was rent in two. We talk about the priests and the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all. They controlled the people. And only the priests could go into the Holies of Holies to seek forgiveness of sin and all that. But now, through what Christ did for us, we have direct access to the Holy of Holies in Jesus' name. He is the key of David. He is your key to the Father. Well, we know that he came and talked to the disciples and shared with them as they met together and walked everywhere. But he taught them a prayer that they could use a model for all of their prayers to line up with. As we close this little segment, and thank you for letting me ramble. I had no idea what I wanted to talk about today. You probably said, well, I don't know either. I'm not sure what you said or what you didn't say. But I hope maybe you got something out of it. And so the most important thing is to have a faith relationship with the living God through Christ. and be involved with God's people that we call the church to encourage one another. Let's join in the prayer that Jesus taught by praying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, and have a wonderful day today, Palm Sunday, with family and friends, and reflect on your life all through this period of time that we call Holy Week. Have a blessed day.